shine your light on me.
Emerge from a self-imposed six-week-long quarantine, but doctors are warning that the coronavirus is still contagious and deadly. Warmer weather and military flyovers drew large crowds on the East Coast yesterday, despite restrictions on gatherings, says correspondent Allison Kosick.
While Georgia, one of the first in the country to begin lifting stay-at-home orders, allowing barbershops, malls, and other businesses to reopen, scores of people flocked to local parks to view the flyover. Many had no masks and were in close proximity. The Georgia Department of Public Health says cases are climbing fast, with almost 29,000 cases being reported, the highest number yet.
A city planning official in Northern California has been removed from his position after writing on Facebook that sick, old, and homeless people should be left to meet their natural course in nature during the crisis. I'm Christopher Cruz. India has reported its biggest one-day jump in coronavirus cases, 2,600. There are 40,000 confirmed infections in the country of 1.3 billion people. The French Parliament has scheduled a vote tomorrow to consider whether to tighten restrictions for the next 2 months. Correspondent Jim Bitterman is in Paris.
There are going to be some new measures imposed, like, for example, the wearing of masks in public, on public transit and things like that. That's going to be more than likely imposed once the Parliament takes this vote.
Bitterman says people entering the country will also be affected.
There's also going to be a quarantine measure, which may be quite difficult for people coming into France. They will be quarantined for 14 days.
South Korea says its troops fired warning shots toward North Korea early this morning. It says North Korean troops fired several shots at a South Korean guard post inside the border zone. The coronavirus count, New York has become the epicenter now of the country's outbreak. I'm Christopher Cruz.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently, and other money managers don't understand why.
Because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So, what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No, Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
The leaders of the House and Senate have declined an offer from the president to be tested for COVID-19.
Senate leader Mitch McConnell, a Republican, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, a Democrat, say in a joint statement they want the equipment to go to frontline facilities instead. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar tweeted Friday that three rapid testing machines and 1,000 tests were being sent for the Senate to use next week. Limited testing for lawmakers has become an issue in decisions about when they should return to Washington. Marlis Majerus, Washington.
Israel's high court is to begin hearing arguments against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu forming a government while facing criminal indictment. There's no explicit prohibition in Israeli legal code against doing so, but if the court decides Netanyahu cannot serve as prime minister because he's under indictment, the country would descend into political chaos. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage. During these challenging times, our commitment to providing you with the best mortgage experience remains. We understand that hardships may arise, and we're prepared to help. Mortgage rates remain near historic lows. If you think that now is the right time to refinance your mortgage, our home loan experts are available to help 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. At rocketmortgage.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Advocate Aurora Health is here for you during the COVID-19 crisis. That's why WVON is proud to welcome them to the 3:30 Focus on Tuesdays. You'll hear from their emergency room doctors discussing ways to help you stay safe and healthy. If you have any questions about COVID-19, visit aah.org/COVID-19 or call 866-4-HEALTH. That's 866-443-2584. Tune in on Tuesdays at 3:30 p.m.
Tune in Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. for Live, Breathe, Mental Health. Hosted by me, Chucky Thomas. It's a new radio show where an author, a comedian, and a life coach all come together to shed light on a topic that's rarely talked about in the Black community, mental health. Tune in and listen to three different perspectives, personalities, and experiences dealing with mental health as we heal ourselves and each other through connected conversation. Tuesday night, 9 p.m. on WVON 1690.
WVON is everywhere you are, on your radio, on the internet, and now, hey Alexa, play WVON 1690 AM.
Getting WVON 1690 AM station from iHeartRadio.
Try it out for yourself. You can now listen to the Talk of Chicago on Alexa.
The Mega Millions jackpot is getting bigger and bigger. Normally, we'd want someone in Illinois to win that money. But right now, we're rooting for everyone, even Wisconsin. Good luck, Wisconsin. Your friend, Illinois. Download the app or play online. Be smart, play smart. Must be 18 or older to play.
May is Health Awareness Month, and in these times, your health should be your number one priority. It's ours. That's why all month long, we'll provide you with the most up-to-date COVID-19 information, plus interviews with doctors, experts, and healthcare professionals on issues that affect us physically and mentally. At WVON, May means health.
The Mega Millions jackpot is huge. Normally we say that money should go to someone in Illinois, not our neighboring states. But right now we need to come together, like we're one big state. But we get to be the capital. It was our idea. Download the app or play online. Be smart, play smart. Must be 18 or older to play.
The views expressed on our programs are not necessarily those of WVON, Midway Broadcasting Corporation, or our participating sponsors.
Broadcasting live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON, it's T.O. Hardiman, Mr. Ceasefire, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
All right, hello, Chicagoland. T.O., Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman, coming to you live this morning on WVON 1690 AM, the Talk of Chicago. You can also download the 1690 AM app on an iHeartRadio. You can download the app. And I want everybody to just call in. We have a real power-packed show this morning. I want to send a shout-out to my main man, Mellow Mitch, the guy on the radio. He's here with the – he's the technician, the in-house technician, making everything happen this morning, early in the morning. I'm here with my producer, Terry Bishop, hashtag Bishop Promotes You. I want to thank Purvis Spann, the blues man, for making WVON a reality. That's Purvis Spann, the blues man, and his lovely daughter, Melody Spann Cooper, and her husband, Mr. Pierre Cooper. I want to thank you all for allowing me to host this show on WVON, along with my sponsors, Voice Enterprise and MentalBeautySupply.com and Violence Interrupters Incorporated. We have a lot of information, everybody, to kind of cover today. I have a few guests that will be calling in. My man, Clyde McLemore, he's the founder of Black Lives Matter, Lake County. I want him to come in and talk about all the work they're doing in the Lake County area, all the people that are listening to the show from Waukegan, Zion, North Chicago, Beach Park, Highland Park area, Vernon Hills, all throughout, and all the good people in the south suburbs, Cook County, all the way to the western Proviso West area. I want to thank you all for tuning in also. I also have a lawyer that's going to call in, Brother Jason Gatzulis. He's going to call in to kind of educate people on what they can do about this COVID-19 situation if you have a loved one that lost his or her life. And then Cassandra Lee, she's the wife of Nicholas Lee, and this is a young man that lost his life over at the Cook County Jail. She'll be calling in. Her husband died due to COVID-19 while incarcerated over at the Cook County Jail. So it's a lot going on this week so far. And let me just give you all some numbers as always as we get deep into it. And for the people that are watching on my Facebook Live, I want you to call in to the show this morning if you have any commentary. That's area code 312-374-8130. And I have to take a step back and thank God for waking me up this morning. And thank God also that COVID-19 did not knock on my front door. All right. We must practice safe distancing out here, everybody. And we have to make sure we wear our gloves, wear our masks at all times. Do not take COVID-19 for granted. Back in the early 1900s, the Spanish flu killed 2 million people. The Spanish flu killed over 2 million people. And so far worldwide, what we got going is 3.3 million cases of COVID-19 worldwide, okay, with over 239,000 deaths worldwide. And right now in the state of Illinois, 58,000 cases and 2,554 deaths. So we have to be very, very careful when it comes down to this coronavirus, also known as COVID-19. And I have a call on the line. I'll get to her in a minute. That's my girl, Deborah Vance. I appreciate you calling in. Let me just put a little bit more information out there before I take the caller, okay? So this is what's happening. I want to say this. I see that Mayor Lloyd Lightfoot is doing the best she can do to make sure that she's staying strong when it comes down to the message of we're not tolerating no mess, no more parties, no more, you know, hanging out doing crazy stuff out there, because you have to take it serious. She was on the news yesterday talking about how you have to be concerned about your relatives. See, a lot of people are not listening. They're going out in big crowds, but they go back home and they can take the disease back home to their older relatives or whatever the case may be. So listen to the mayor, listen to the governor as they talk about extending the stay-at-home order to a degree, because you never know how this COVID-19 could sneak up on you, all right? And I want to thank State Rep LaShawn Ford, Brother Tyrone Mohammed and Mark Carter for traveling down to Stateville Prison yesterday. They took some water down there, and they actually took some masks and everything for the staff, and they're concerned about the prisoners down there. So that's important as well. So let's not play no games. So if people want to call in, I would like to also for us to chime in and ask. Let me put the question out there. Should the stay-at-home order be extended? Let's talk about that a little bit. So let's just get right down to it. Let's bring on our first caller, Ms. Deborah Vines, and let's talk about what you want to talk about, Ms. Deborah Vines.
Yo, how are you?
I'm doing good, young lady. Good to hear from you.
Well, you know what? I had to call in this morning. I listen to your show all the time, and first of all, I want to tell you you're doing a great job, and I love, love, love your theme song.
Right on.
I wanted to call in this morning, firstly, to say, to address the families that have children with autism and special needs. A lot of the parents are going through a lot of mental health issues because they're not used to having their children at home with them all day long. And the children are so routine that, you know, being off their routine is causing them to have a lot of behavior. So I just wanted to let the families out there know that, you know, the answer is available for them. We are offering counseling services for the family so that they can have someone to talk to, so that they won't just feel like that they want to jump And secondly, to the families that the community that's out there that know families that have children with special needs, please reach out to them and give them support, because this thing is real. The quarantine is real for a lot of families that have children with special needs. They're going through a lot of mental health issues. So it's just time to love on each other more so now than ever. And thank you for being a catalyst and a voice. Always being on the front lines, T.O., not just for violence interruption, but so many other things as well. I love you, my brother, and keep up the good
work. So, now, don't hang up yet, Ms. Deborah. I have to ask you a quick question, okay?
Okay.
I appreciate you. And I'm glad you brought up the fact that, we're out here on the front lines on a lot of different issues, because people call me. You know, no matter what happens, people call me for multitudes of reasons. So, what's the name of your organization? The Answer
Incorporated Autism Awareness and Support Agency. Right.
So how are people dealing with the autistic community when it comes to COVID-19? Is the autistic community receiving a lot of help from the state or the city or the county or whatever the case may be?
Well, you know, it's always room for more improvement. I hear that you mentioned State Rep. LaShawn Ford. All of our legislators, especially in the Proviso Township and Chicagoland area, are doing an awesome job as it relates to the special needs community. But we're stressing more so now than ever for our families to have their children to wash their hands, because a lot of our kids, you know, they really don't wash their hands like they should. And it's not just special needs children. It's children across the board. They are putting information out there for us to give to our families, and they've been very, very proactive as it relates to the special needs community.
And thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in, okay?
Absolutely, and thank you for all you do.
All right, that's good. That's it right there. So before we take the next call, I just want to just bring everybody up to speed, because you all cannot hear basically, you know, the questions. But look here, just listen to your radio, though, so I'm not going to keep repeating that. Just listen to your radio. But what Deborah just talked about is the autistic community and how they're dealing with the COVID-19 crisis as well. So we need all the resources, all hands on deck, to support one another, you know, because the autistic community, they need special attention as well, because this COVID-19, like I say, it can show up like a creep at night. You know, you never know how it's going to knock on your door. So we salute Deborah Vines and her organization. So let me take the next call in now. Mr. Michael O'Connor. Let's bring
Hi,
Michael
good morning.
O'Connor. Hey, how you doing, young man?
Hi, good morning. This is Michael O'Connor.
Okay.
Let me just say that, first and foremost, it's not for me. I want to congratulate you and give a shout out to State Representative LaShawn Ford. I know that there are aspects in terms of public policy responses that continue to try to magnify the visibility around the health disparities that as African Americans we have. And unfortunately, what I'm not seeing, or what I'm not really sure, that it's just young people not getting the message. I'm a senior, and I live in a senior building in Bronzeville, and I see seniors who simply ignore social distancing, who don't wear masks, who allow their family to visit them, and none of the family has masks on. So clearly, the messaging has not been as effective as you would think it'd be. I don't know what else you could do, but I just think that at this point, people, if you want to live, you need to be self-contained, especially if you are persons with underlying conditions. And that word underlying conditions, I don't like, because of the fact that most of us, it's no secret that the African-American community has the highest far as rates of hypertension, the highest rates of heart disease, and as far as the highest rates of diabetes. And I can go on and on and on. So as far as I'm concerned, I do believe that the stay-at-home should be extended, to answer your question,
yes,
because science tells us that it has to be at least 18 months unless they come up with a vaccine. And I'm not really sure if I would trust what this administration under the Federal Drug Administrators would put out, because they're talking about skipping trials in order to get it to the public. With people who have underlying conditions, if you know anything about basic biology or basic science, you know that you may be in that population where giving you the drug may make things worse because of your underlying conditions. They have had no research dealing, none of the papers dealing with African Americans specifically. I ain't talking about nobody else. I'm just talking about African Americans.
I understand.
So as far as I'm concerned, people need to be kept in place. And I want to congratulate you and say thanks publicly for giving the information that we need, especially as it concerns the returning citizen. Too often we do not talk about the returning citizen. Most of those that are locked up in our jails and in our prisons here in the state of Illinois, their citizenship has been suspended under the 13th Amendment because they are in jail. Look up the Constitution, you'll see it.
I appreciate you, bro. You'll be able to know
that when they get out, they're supposed to be restored, at least in some of the states. This is not all of them.
Okay.
So we need to make sure that we advocate as much as possible for people who are citizens, especially in the sanctuary states. Mama D taught me that. And I want to give her a shout out. And I want to give Brother Hall a shout out.
That's my man, Brother Hall, without a doubt.
And feeding the hungry. And they're not getting paid. They're doing it free.
Okay, well, thank you for your call, okay? I appreciate you. Without a doubt, Michael Connor, appreciate you so much. And what Michael talked about for the people that are watching, basically talked about how we have to be careful and remain steadfast when it comes down to just being aware. To be aware is to be alive, in other words. We have to stop playing games. The nursing home industry is being hit. They've been devastated with COVID-19 nursing homes. And what Michael talked about also, and Brother Lee, I'll get to your call in a minute, he talked about how people are taking it for granted out here. People are still not paying attention to what's going on the news. People are not listening. I travel Chicago sometimes. I do see a lot of people without their masks on. I see young people and older people on the bus stops. Nobody's masked up. It's crazy. But the thing is, it's your life. It's your life. And you have to protect your life. You know, we can only do so much to educate people, but it's very, very important. For the people listening, you can call in to 312-374-8130 so you can talk to T.O. Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman right here on WVON. You can download the iHeartRadio app, 1690 AM, the WVON iHeartRadio app, so you can listen to the show on the radio. So before I get to Brother Lee also, I just want to say this to you as your big brother out here. Listen, people, just listen, because you never know when your time might be up. And I would hate to do all this good talking. I don't listen myself. That would be crazy. So if I practice what I preach. I'm practicing safe distance. I'm making sure that I'm getting the message out to all my family members. And that's all you can do. So with that being said, let me bring Brother Lee on. And Brother Lee, I want you to answer a question, too. Do you think the stay-at-home order should be extended? And what's going on as far as the way you view it, Brother Lee?
Yes, I think the state order should be extended. And Brother T.O. Hardiman, good morning to you. And I have a message for you and State Representative LaShawn Ford and Dr. Willie Wilson from the brothers who are locked up in Pontiac in the institution. They wanted me to get this message to you this morning, you know, that they are under a very crucial situation where the Illinois Department of Corrections is sending other prisoners, if you would, from other institutions or from the various county jails to that facility that are COVID-19 positive. They don't have any masks down there. They want you, Dr. Willie Wilson, State Representative LaShawn Ford, to begin to look and investigate this situation in Pontiac. They say they are in dire need. They are trying to get the word out. They specifically asked for me to get up this morning to make sure that I tell Mr. Ceasefire, if you would, the T.O. Hardiman show, you know, that we need the public to be aware of what's going on in Pontiac, just like what happened in Cook County Jail is beginning to happen in big numbers in Pontiac, just like what happened in Stateville is happening in Pontiac. And they want you all to be aware of it. They need you all to shine that spotlight on there. They need you to get the Congressman Ford to go and visit Pontiac. Dr. Willie Wilson and yourself, Brother Benny Lee, and so forth, and all the organizations that put that spotlight on Cook County, that needs to be done on Pontiac, particularly this new thing of transferring prisoners from other institutions, from the Cook County Jail, you know, to Pontiac, who are COVID positive, and they do not have masks. They're suffering a water situation. They want you to look into it. And let me say this, Brother Hardiman, after this show here, maybe your next show should be, and I will get off after this, you need to get Superintendent Brown on, since he wants to talk about making this city the safest city in the country. You know, if he's talking about community policing, he needs to be in touch with people like yourself and, yes. and brothers like Benny Lee and other brothers who right. have worked in these communities who knows what's going on. If there's going to be any type of community policing, any type of safe streets, you know, we need to get the right people, real community people like yourself involved. Thank you very much, and keep up the good work, brother.
I appreciate you, Brother Lee, and that's very important. And he's telling the truth, actually, because the superintendent, the mayor, should reach out to me. I'm T.O. Mr. Ceasefire Hardeman. I'm part of the solution. I'm not the overall solution, but I'm part of the solution. I have a proven track record in the area of reducing shootings and killing. So I'm just, you know, I'm not waiting around. We're steady working out here doing the best we can do. But I believe that I definitely deserve a phone call, all right? So before I get to my other guests, I'm glad that people are calling in. I got one of my guests coming on. He's an attorney, Jason. We're not going to put him on just yet. I just want to put a few things out here, make a few announcements. I want to thank Purvis Spann, the blues man, the originator of WVON, and his lovely daughter, Melody Spann Cooper, and her husband, Pierre Cooper, and my main man, my producer's in the show, Terry Bishop, hashtag Terry Bishop, all right? And Mellow Mitch, the technician here that's taking care of all the technical, you know, work here in the station today. So then I just want to say this here. This is a good subject matter, but the brothers that are locked up in Pontiac Prison, the brothers that are in Stateville, Menard, I sat on a committee with a former state rep. His name is Eddie Washington out of Lake County. He passed away, but we were responsible for getting Tams Prison closed down. Tams was a supermax prison. They built that prison to house the roughest inmates, and they found out we didn't have the roughest inmates here in Illinois, so they had to close the prison down because of the inhumane type of setup it was. It was a very inhumane condition. So we got a chance to visit a lot of penitentiaries throughout the state of Illinois, and I want to thank, like I say, everybody that's working to uplift prisoners. But let me make no mistakes here. I'm not the guy anymore. I've done a whole lot of work working with ex-offenders. I hired over 300 ex-offenders during my tenure with Ceasefire. But if a person has been convicted of first-degree murder, you know, you have to think about the people's humanity that you took their lives. So I don't want to play no double standards out here. I'm concerned about everybody's humanity. But if you took a life in first-degree murder, you raped somebody, you have to deal with what you got coming to you. That's just the way I look at it. Don't get me wrong. People change over time. And once a person is released, when they work on the restoration process and they try to turn their lives around, we plan to welcome them with open arms. But don't go crying, playing games now, especially if you took somebody's life with first-degree murder. I'm not taking up for none of that stuff anymore. Not me, not on my watch. I want to be clear about that. All right, here we go. So, Tyrone, before I get to you, I had to bring my guest on, Brother Jason. He's attorney. Jason, let me make sure I pronounce your last name properly. Jason Gatchelis. He's going to come on. You can correct that for me, Jason, all right? So he's going to talk about what you can do.
No, that's close enough. That's good.
That's close enough. Okay. So Jason's going to talk about what you can do if you have family members that have come down with COVID-19. So I turn it over to you, Jason.
All right. Thanks, Tio. Well, as you said earlier in your show, COVID is here. It's real. It's affecting a lot of people's lives. And so in two ways, the legal ramifications for some people is if they've gotten COVID at work. First off, you mentioned nursing homes. Yes, there are a number of people who's probably listening right now who've lost a loved one due to COVID in a nursing home. I work for a law firm called Parenti in Norham.
Okay.
Our website is pninjurylaw.com. We're representing a number of families who have lost loved ones in nursing homes to COVID. There are certain challenges. A lot of nursing homes and the nursing home industry is trying to force Illinois to give them immunities. But we're fighting the nursing home. We're fighting them, fighting those immunities. And so, you know, we're representing families who have lost loved ones in nursing homes. There are certain things the nursing home should have done a long time ago regarding their infection control. And we're finding out that many nursing homes aren't doing that. Also want to mention that we represent a number of nurses, RNs, CNAs at nursing homes who have tested positive for COVID. They do have legal rights under the Illinois workers' compensation laws.
Okay.
If you've gotten COVID and you are an essential worker, not only nurses at nursing homes, but we also represent a number of state workers, police officers, firefighters, again, a number of you know, not everybody's been able to stay home. There's lots of people on the front lines who are getting COVID, and they can get compensation under the workers' compensation laws. So just remember that. It isn't just the people who are at nursing homes dying or in hospitals dying, but it's also essential workers who are getting sick and who are dying, and they do have legal remedies under the workers' compensation laws here in Illinois.
Oh, good information. I appreciate you, Attorney. Do me a favor, pronounce your last name for me on the air so everybody get your last name right.
Sure, it's Gadzoulas.
Gadzoulas, got you. I appreciate that. So what Attorney Jason Gadzoulas is saying to everybody is that there are some legal, you know, processes that can take place if you have a family member that has come down with COVID-19 or somebody passed away from COVID-19 and they're a resident at a nursing home. There's legal processes that can take place. Am I right, Attorney?
That is correct. And also okay. Not just residents, but again, we represent a number of nurses, RNs. And again, it's not just the nurses and RNs at nursing homes, but all the essential workers, grocery store. You know, we represent a number of clerks and grocery store workers, warehouse workers who have come down with COVID. And we're finding that those employees are not providing their and those employers aren't providing their employees with the proper protections or took the proper infection control measures to protect their workers.
Oh, no, I appreciate this information. It's very, very valuable information. So you can put your website out there one more time for us, and I appreciate it.
Sure. Tio, it's PNinjuryLaw.com. Parenti and Norum is the law firm, P-A-R-E-N-T-E, and Norum, N-O-R-E-M. The phone number is 312-641-5926. You can go to our website. And again, we've represented families who have lost loved ones due to COVID at nursing homes, and we've also are representing nurses, CNAs at nursing homes who have come down with COVID or have lost their lives due to COVID, and again, also those essential workers.
Appreciate it very much, and thank you for getting up this morning to call into the T.O. Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman Show.
Thanks, T, and thanks for passing on the message. This is here. Everybody's got to practice social distancing. Wear your mask and protect yourselves.
All right, and you have a nice day today.
Thanks, T.
All right. So Jason and I used to work together many, many years ago dealing with community organizing for peace. I appreciate it. It's good to hear from you, brother, sincerely. So let me say this to everybody. My heart goes out to all the tip workers, the people that are not working in the restaurants right now. They were depending on them tips to pay their bills. And what Jason just talked about is that people also have legal process. If you like CNA, I get it. If you're working in the health industry, you can, you know, you got issues out there. If you come down with COVID-19 or you get sick for some reason, you can reach out to people and talk about it and deal with this issue up front, because a lot of family members are dying. I've received personally about maybe 30 calls from nursing homes, from people that have family members in nursing homes. And then there's no good time to die. Let me make that clear. But if someone was to pass away right now, when you have to attend a funeral, it's just sad because only 10 people at a time can go into the funeral, number one. And then a lot of people are discouraged from paying their respect because of what's going on with COVID-19. So just do your best to stay safe. My heart goes out to the people that cannot get their unemployment. It's rough out here because people have to stock up bottled water. People have to stock up non-perishable items and all kinds of stuff. So if you're out there struggling, T.O. Hardiman is thinking about you, all right? Let me take my next caller. Brother Tyrone is on the line. Let's take Tyrone right now.
Hey, Brother Tito, how you feeling, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. Good to hear from you, bro.
You know, the thing about this whole thing is, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. You know that, right?
Yeah, always.
And see, the problem that's going on right now is that I was talking to a black... let me first say that I had three family members that died from COVID.
You had three? So Tyrone said he had three family members that died from COVID-19.
I had 18 people in my family who were sick from this biological agent.
Okay.
Now, I talked to a black sister that went to Princeton who's a virologist. And when she explained to me very clear the reason why we really need to wear masks and everything, it's because COVID-19 is not a virus. It's a biological weapon that they're using against us out here. They don't took what God created naturally to help the body. They created it to destroy the body. So So now, here it is, when we ask for reparation, they tell us the social distance. When they said they were broke, they came up with $2 trillion. Brother Tito, all we got to look back is what they did to the Indians, when they, the so-called natives that was here, when they gave them the smallpox blankets and killed all of them. Now here it is, ever since Mayor Daley, Rahm Emanuel, and Bill Daley and them put together a genocidal plan back in 1994, most folks are dying are black folks. And the reason why people are dying is because they don't believe in the virus. But what we need to get them to understand is that this is a biological germ warfare going on against us mostly.
Okay. Okay.
See, they weren't going to say nothing about us dying at first. They were just showing you the white people and the Chinese folks and everybody. But when the word got out that most of us was dying, then all of a sudden they don't care. Now they want to break down McCormick Place and all that stuff because they don't care nothing about us because they know who they really want against. They have to destroy us. Our people need to find the best mask and the best protection they can to cover their nose and even their eyes and their mouth to make sure that whatever this chemical is that they going around, these vials, they taking around with them. Because from my understanding from the sister is that they're carrying them around. They're taking them around in these little vials, and they're just dropping them in different places and spreading this stuff and killing everybody.
Well, thank you, Brother Tyrone.
This
I appreciate
not right,
it.
Brother Tito.
No, we plan to take it on. I appreciate your call, okay? I really do. So everybody that's listening and watching my live here, I just want to say Brother Tyrone talked about how, you know, smallpox took place with the indigenous Indians many decades. I mean, really over a couple of centuries ago, whatever the case may be. But people, we had the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. So there have been a lot of experiments. But this is the thing. I have to speak up for my people right now. I just think when I know the majority, a good majority of African-American people are dying due to this COVID-19. And we have to be very, very careful because I think that my people, sometimes we just tired. There's no excuse. Don't get me wrong. You know, put your mask on, put your gloves on. But people are tired sometimes. People living in poverty. You got gun violence all over the place. People just get tired after a while. They just figure they have nothing to lose. So I'm praying that my people will get masked up. A lot of people out there donating masks. They're donating gloves, donating food and everything. So do the best that you can do. But I'm like the voice of the voiceless people. T.O. Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman, I'm considered the voice of the voiceless people. And I have Miss Cassandra Lee. I'll bring on in a minute. She's the wife of Nicholas Lee, the young man that died of COVID-19 while in the Cook County jail. And I've been out there, you know, we've organized a few protests in front of the Cook County jail because we want to bring attention to the fact that it's unacceptable that the conditions in the Cook County jail or the Illinois Department of Corrections may be a little bit not proper, in other words, when it comes down to sanitation, when it comes down to social distancing. And then this young lady's husband, from what she told me, he actually called her a few times, and two guys had died from COVID-19, and he was around the two guys, and he tried to really sound the alarm, and nobody listened to him. So he ended up losing his life in the Cook County Jail. So before I bring on, I just want to say that, and then I just want to make a few little announcements here. I want to thank my sponsors, Boyce Enterprise and MentalBeautySupply.com, and my organization, Violence Interrupters Incorporated. And I want to say that before I bring Cassandra Lee on. So let's bring on. Yeah, Cassandra?
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, thank you for calling in, young lady. I'm waiting to hear from you and kind of give us an update on what's going on with your situation, if you don't mind.
Oh, no problem. Well, my situation with my husband began early March, as you stated. He called me several times because this is when this pandemic first started, and we both was not very knowledgeable about it. So I was keeping him abreast of what I would see on TV that Mayor Lightfoot and Governor Pritzker were saying. And he said, Cassandra, these two men that's on my chair with me, they appear to have those symptoms. So I told him, do not worry. I told him different precautions to take to try to quarantine the best that he could. And what everyone must remember is that my husband was on a dormitory unit. Okay. So that means that he was not in a cell. He was in an open space with 50 other gentlemen. So it was very hard for him to social distance or just try to quarantine himself. But he would do what I asked as far as wrapping his T-shirt around his mouth and nose, wrapping his T-shirt around the phone. I tried to call several times to no avail. I didn't excessively call as of then, the second week of March. But as time went on and the two gentlemen became sicker, I began to excessively call. No one answered. Division 8 was the housing unit that he was in. So no one answered the phone. I would continually call. I would continually keep him updated on different precautions and, you know, different things that they were saying, the CDC and all of the above. To make a long story short, okay. March 28th, finally someone in Division 8 answered. They notified me that due to the pandemic, they were short-staffed. There were no social workers. There were no sergeants that I could speak with. I told her my husband's situation. She took down my name and number. She said that she would have someone to call me back within 24 hours. That never happened. From March 29th until my husband was finally taken over to John Stroger ICU April 6th, no one never answered the phone in Division 8 again. I also called Tom Dart's office to no avail. I called Serbike Hospital, which is a hospital on the compound. You have to leave a message. You can't just like push one or two to speak with anyone. You have to leave a message. Someone did call me back, but she informed me that because I was not an inmate or an employee, that she was unable to talk to me about anything. I said, ma'am, please, can I tell you what's going on with my husband? She said she can listen to me, but she cannot talk to me and tell me anything. I told her about the two sick gentlemen. I let her know that I'm not a doctor, so I couldn't diagnose.
Okay.
But I told her that those gentlemen possessed symptoms of the coronavirus. She explained, and my husband needed help. She explained to me that every division at the Cook County Jail have a nurse. If a nurse felt as though an inmate was sick, they would send them over to CIRMAC. I explained to her, ma'am, according to what my husband is saying, I don't think a nurse has even been on his tier, because if they had, they would see that these gentlemen were really, really sick now, because one of them was so sick that he couldn't even get up. He was that weak. She explained, she said, ma'am, once again, if a nurse felt as though an inmate was sick, they would send them over to CIRMAC. So I got no help there.
Okay.
So now I'm excessively calling, because March 29th was the first time my husband showed any symptoms. He called me and said he had a sore throat. I told him, do not worry. We're going to stay prayerful. It's probably just a common cold, because I'm trying to keep him comfortable. But in my own right, I'm panicky now because I'm scared.
Okay.
So I'm calling excessively now to no avail. It went from a sore throat to a fever, from a fever to chills, from chills to no smell, no taste, to total weakness. I am in a panic now. I'm in an uproar. Still, no one is answering the phone. I went. All the doors are locked. No, I just couldn't find any help. They finally took my husband to John Stroger Hospital on April 6th. When he arrived at John Stroger, he was already in a severe stage of COVID.
Wow.
He passed away April 12th at 4:20 a.m.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, the entire, you know, WVON family, we send our condolences to you. And then how long were you married to your husband there,
Okay, we've been together for a lifetime, but we've only been married for 4 years.
No, that's fine. You've been together for a lifetime. And I see Carolyn Ruff, she's been out there standing on the front line as well in front of the Cook
yes.
County Jail, and something definitely needs to be done to make sure that nobody else loses his or her life that's locked up in the Cook County Jail. Inmates' lives matter. I saw somebody
that's
with
right.
a sign like that out there, okay? And
that's
so
right.
whatever I can do to help you, yeah, go. You can continue. You got something else?
I was just going to say, they might be inmates to the world, but they're someone loved one. He was my best friend and my husband. He was loved, and I needed him.
Right on. And I appreciate you calling in. It means a lot to me, and I plan to continue to stand on the front line with you. Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. was out there with us yesterday as well. Amita Matthews and Sister LaShawn Trice, all the good people that are in the movement. So I want to salute Carolyn Ruff right now, because she's been steadfast, okay? And I appreciate you calling in, Cassandra. Okay? Get the message out. All right, come on.
Hey, T.O., yeah, I do agree with everything that you're saying. This is a big pandemic that's going on. You know, it's a stealth warfare, and we just have to stay protected, because we really don't know what the future holds. So I'm sure pretty much they're going to extend the stay-at-home order.
Okay, that's my main man, Mellow Mitch. So, you know, he's saying they might extend the stay-at-home order. And I must say this just as a community leader. You know, it's important. We have to stay at home until we get it right. Let's utilize this time at home. You know, let's make good of the time we're spending at home. You know, instead of being negative about it, let's be positive about it and do everything in our power to make sure our family's safe, number one, and make sure the people around us are safe. Check on your family members. Do the best you can do, because none of us have all the answers, all right? We do not have all the answers. Cassandra Lee called in. I can imagine what she's dealing with. She lost her husband. You know, they've been together a lifetime. It's really, really sad. It's pathetic, because the Cook County Jail should make sure them conditions are, you know, like in the best of condition over there. Like I say, with sanitary situations. And Tom Dart knows this. So, you know, I may have him come on the show one day and talk about what's going on in the Cook County Jail. But if no one speaks up, nothing's going to get done. So you want to chime in, Brother Terry Bishop?
No one speaks up, nothing happens. If no one speaks up, nothing happens. That's like when you're on the aisle and you're on the bus and you see these young guys coming on the aisle knowing that everything is going on, knowing that they should be having face masks on, knowing that they should have gloves on. Mm-hmm. If you have the money and you have a spare face mask in your purses, in your pants, hand it to these young brothers, because these guys just, they're just carefree. They're having these big, giant block parties, and Mama Lightfoot's not playing with nobody.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Mel Lightfoot. Yeah,
she's not playing with no. Mama Lightfoot is not playing with nobody. So if you know somebody and they don't have a face mask, be a good Samaritan. Just hand it to them and say, please.
Well, see, the thing about it, there's no excuse right now not to have a face mask. Everybody's giving them out.
There's no excuse to have a face mask, T.O.
There's no excuse. You know, I got one.
There's no excuse to have a face mask, T.O. Then why are so many of these young black men still walking around in Chicago with no face mask?
Well, no questions asked, just wear your mask. You know, one of my sponsors, Boyce Enterprise, she sells face masks all the time, but people giving them out as well. So the reality is that we have to just do better. We have to do better. But you got to understand, you know, a lot of people still killing people out there in Chicago. People are shooting it as well. So we living in, put it like this, we living in two different sides of Chicago. You got the north side, you know, people living their lives, doing the best they can do. You got the southwest and the east side. We have a lot of gun violence continuing to take place out there. So something has to give sooner or later. You would think that the stay-at-home order would unify the people. But I tell you something, what's really killing my people, African-American people, is our lack of unity. More so than anything else, our lack of unity is killing us. And I'm asking people, you know, just listen to what I'm talking about. It's time to unify, or we're going to continue to die. We had a brother on the train tracks yesterday. Mental health is real serious, Brother Terry Bishop. Mental health is serious as it could be. This brother had a mental health breakdown, obviously, so he was running around on the train tracks. They stopped the held up the damn round for like 4 hours yesterday. They took him in, but they probably could have tased him early on. His life might have been saved. You never know. So the bottom line, the moral of the story, is that we have to save ourselves. We cannot expect people to save us. We have to save ourselves like our mighty ancestors did. Our ancestors, they stood up for what was right for our people, to make sure that we became free. Just put it like that, that we were liberated, in other words. And our ancestors had to endure more than we would ever have to endure. Even considering this here pandemic of the COVID-19, our ancestors had to deal with the transatlantic slave trade. And nobody really wants to talk about it. Everybody wants to just bury it in the past. But it's very serious. And I don't have time to get into it today as much as I would like to, because I have another caller calling in. So the thing is, I would like to take all the calls that I can take in, because it's very important for the people to call the show, because the show WVON, Pervis Spann, made sure the show was for everybody. And for those who don't remember, there's a brother that used to hang out with Pervis Spann named Carl Wright, Brother Carl Wright, a good man. He's passed away. Carl Wright is no longer with us, but he played in the movie Soul Food and a few other movies he was in. And Bernie Mac was crazy about Carl Wright, okay? Our main man, our legendary Bernie Mac. So let's take Mama D's call in right now. We'll keep pushing it, all right? Mama D. Let's take Mama D in.
Are you there?
Yeah, Mama D, I'm on.
Okay. The two groups at the top of the COVID-19 death chain are Indigenous Native Americans and Indigenous Native Black Americans, the twin victims of the American genocidal Holocaust. We are the only ones that are over here that are not immigrants, and we are not refugees. So my question is, when Mayor Lightfoot came out with that executive order that gave $100 million to small businesses and also a $1,000 check each to the sanctuary settlers, in addition to 16 guaranteed services, $100,000 devices so that they could be, the sanctuary settlers could be technologically prepared because they didn't have internet and stuff like that. So my question is, why aren't the other people that did not qualify for that stimulus package, like returning inmates, and especially when they are indigenous Native Black Americans, and under the 13th Amendment, they went from individually being owned by slaves, being owned by the institutions of incarceration,
all right,
because they were convicted of a crime. And it was a crime not to have a job, by the way, called vagrancy. But my question is, there was a lot of people, not just the so-called immigrants, but everybody's immigrants, whether you're from Poland or Jamaica or from Ireland or China. If you came from a country with a land and a language, you are an immigrant. So why didn't those people, the returning from incarceration or the ones that didn't meet the unemployment qualification, why didn't they get that $1,000 check under that executive order that is out of the taxpayers' money?
Okay, thank you, Mama D. So for those that are watching and listening here, Mama D wanted to ask a question. She asked a question, why did the $1,000 check, why did some people that were incarcerated did not receive the check, or whatever the case may be. So we'll follow up on that in my next show, Mama D. I'll have an answer for you. But something Mama D did bring up that's important to me, it appears that everybody's making, all the leaders, all the political leaders are making all these, policies, in other words, for illegal immigrants. I'm not against nobody. Let me make that clear. But if you come over to the country illegally, I think that that needs to be dealt with a different way. I believe that politicians, some politicians are turning it in their favor to make it appear like they sympathize. But if black folks was on the other side of that issue, I think people would look at it a totally different way. And I just go on the record and say this to you. If Africa was on the borderline of America and African people were slipping into the country the way that a lot of other people are, I'm not going to name no race or nationality, but if African people were on the border, if Africa was on the border of America and African people were slipping into the country, our people, they would probably execute our people right on sight. Trust and believe me what I'm telling you, because there's something has to give. We cannot continue to make so many concessions for illegal people. And plus, let me say this to you. No human being should be seen as illegal anyway. I just want to clear the air with that. But at the same time, we have laws here in the land that should be respected and protected. So that's another long story. But the thing is, I have to speak up for African people, because everybody continues to receive concessions. And our people are steady getting caught up, catching cases, going crazy. They legalized marijuana now. What about all the brothers and sisters that were convicted of selling marijuana? So there's a whole lot going on. All right. So I have another call. I want to make sure I get these calls in, Lisa, before we wrap the show up today. It's been a very busy show. A lot of people calling early in the morning. So we'll take Lisa.
Good morning. Hi. My brother was released from Cook County Jail, and he was on the same deck that two of the guys who died. He said one of them was taken off of the deck March 29th, and he subsequently died, and the other one died also. But here's the issue. They checked their temperature.
Okay.
And if they didn't have a fever, they let them go. There was no follow-up. And here's the killing part. All of these guys and ladies were released on house arrest, and they should be on home monitoring. My brother hasn't stayed in the house not one day. That alarm is constantly going off, and nobody ever responds. Nobody comes, nobody calls, none of the sheriffs, because the inmates who were released on house arrest know that they, and nobody's going to check up on them because of this COVID virus. So if they did get the virus, if they are symptomatic, chances are their family's not going to know, because we can't even keep up with my brother. He's gone so much.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your call. It means a lot to me that you called in, Lisa, okay? And we'll pray for your brother and pray for everybody in the entire land, all right? Okay, thank you so much. And I have another call waiting in the line here. Seth, we got another caller coming in. Let's take this call before we wrap up
today.
Good
morning, T.L. Hardiman.
Hey, how you doing, young man?
Eric Seth.
All right, you're on the air.
I want to just let you know that the Second Chance Act that Rep. Ford has been talking about, and the work that he's been doing at Joliet has been very, very fruitful. And I just wanted to congratulate you on your show and to keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you so much. The brother one.
Mayday this day.
Okay, appreciate that so much. It means a lot to me. So Brother Seif wanted to congratulate me on the show today. I want to thank him. But we must understand right now, brothers and sisters, we are at, you know, got a lot of things going on in the black community. If you look down 79th Street all the way from Damon all the way to Yates, 75th and Yates, you see over 1,000 abandoned storefronts. A lot of people talk good game about what they're going to do to help uplift black Chicago, black Cook County, black Proviso West, but we don't see anything. It's very important that we begin to unify as a people and stop talking so much and unify. I'm grateful that God is using me as a vessel here on WVON and on my social media, but we've been talking a long time. Nothing has changed. The Regal Theater is just sitting there. The Regal should be just like the Apollo Theater in Harlem, New York. That's how the Regal Theater should be. It should be open for business. Everybody should be going to the Regal Theater. We need a entertainment district here in Black Chicago, somewhere on the South Side. There's a lot of work to be done. So, you know, we have to hold people accountable out here. When it comes down to resources in Black Chicago, we need a black town. There should be a setup somewhere. Mark Carter talks about black town all the time, where you can go. So a lot of people get caught up too, Terry Bishop. They say, well, you're talking about the race. This is not about race. This is about a culture of people that have been denied resources. We still are in a situation where we only receive 3% of the construction contracts here in the state of Illinois. And everybody, all the politicians run on a platform that they're going to look out for black Chicago or black Illinois. And I'm not here, like I say, just criticize. I'm just putting the facts out there. And this is something I blame our people for our disunity, though. I don't blame none of the leaders that are in office. I blame the people, because everybody depends on the black vote. But once we vote people in office, we don't hold them accountable. That's up to us to hold people accountable. It's very important. Right now, the legal recreational marijuana business is set to make billions of dollars over the next few years. And here it is. We're not really we're on the bottom end of that. There are no black marijuana dispensaries as of yet today in Chicago. And when them marijuana dispensaries were opened up, the people that were in charge, they knew that there were no black marijuana dispensaries. That's another conversation, but we have a lot of work to do. It makes no sense in the year 2020. We're still struggling with the fact that we're at the bottom of the totem pole in a lot of different ways, you know, so we have to organize. That's why brothers like me continue to speak truth to power. I'm T.O. Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman. I'm one of the brothers in Chicago you can still call if your son or daughter is in trouble out there on the streets. 7 or 9 times out of 10, we can mediate on the front end and save a life. My staff have already mediated about 30 conflicts this year that could have turned deadly, and we stopped it on the front end. That's important, stopping the violence on the front end. You can call in and talk to me. You know, my number is 773-391-9072 if you want to talk to me. And you can call in the show. We might have time for one more quick caller. That's 312-374-8130. If you like what I'm talking about, visit my website, violenceinterrupters.org. Check me out. You can download the 1690 AM WVON iHeart on the app, the WVON app, WVON app, iHeart Radio. It's very, very important. Communication is what's going on out there for everybody. So before I get out of here today, I just want to put this out here. Purvis Spann, I just want to thank the spirit of Purvis Spann. I'm here with my producer, Terry Bishop, Mellow Mitch, dealing with all the technical, related work here in the studio this morning. And I want to thank my sponsors, as always, mentalbeautysupply.com, Violence Interrupters, not-for-profit organization, Voice Enterprise. And let's continue to work. You know, my guy Clyde Mecklenburg couldn't call in this morning. My prayers go out to Cassandra Lee and her family. She lost her husband. But COVID-19 is serious, people. Do not take it for granted, because if you take it for granted, if you snooze, you lose. And to the brothers on the streets that continue to shoot each other without any type of regard for humanity, we got to put the guns down. Put the guns down and work them situations out on the front end. If you cannot work it out, call T.O. Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman. Allow me to work it out before you take a life. And I'm dead serious about it, because we can make it happen. See, Terry, a lot of people are confused about what's going on in Chicago. See, we don't have a big gang problem like we used to have. You have a lot of interpersonal conflict out there. That's the reason why you can't, you know, you need a crystal ball to see what's going on all the time. That's why it's hard to stop it. So I've offered my training to the city before. The police, I'm not anti-police, let me make that clear, but the police have not been trained to stop killings on the front end. The police have been trained to come after a crime has been committed. So my thing is, I would like to train the police department on how to stop killings on the front end. I would like to train all the people in the field, because we have a proven track record back in throughout the years. When I served as the director of Ceasefire Illinois, we, like I say, the numbers speak for themselves. We experienced almost a 25% to 80% reduction in shootings and homicides in some of our communities in which I used to oversee. And then also, I want to say this when I wrap up, I always sing a little something for everybody to show y'all that I'm human. So here's a little Johnny Gill for y'all, right? All right, here we go. Put on your red dress and slip on your high heels and some of that sweet perfume. It sure smells good on you. Slide on your lipstick and let all your hair down. And baby, when you get through, I just want to look at you. Check it out. Tonight will be a special night of many more to come. And I'm so proud to be with you. I just want to let you know, you got me saying, my, you sure look good tonight. Now, that's my little impression of Johnny Gill, everybody here tonight. I mean, this